Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
That's DeAndre Hunter. He was part of that ass-whooping last night. Cavaliers beat the brakes off the Miami Heat by 55 points.
Boy, he was having particular fun. He was doing the you're too small, all the stuff that people normally do to Darius and Max Strus. He was doing to the Miami Heat yesterday. They were all too small.
He had 19 last night on 3 of 4 from long range. Also coming up at 8:45, I need 100 Cleveland men. Not for a Buddy Blue situation, but I need 100 Cleveland men. I'll tell you why at 8:45. However, this is what Eric Spoelstra had to say about the series.
But damn, it was humbling. This series was humbling. These last two games were embarrassing, but Cleveland's also a very good team. We won whatever we won. They won 65. We're as irrational as we usually are, thinking that we have a chance to win this series, and they showed us why we weren't ready, you know, for that.
I need the cynics. 216-474-0092. If you were a cynic, it's okay. It's all right. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to say you're a bad fan or any of the other stuff. Okay? Did this series change your mind? If you were a cynic, did this series get some Miami Heat? It really wasn't a series. It was just four beatings. Three out of four games were just beatings. This was such a satisfying series in so many ways. Again, I told you at the beginning of the show, you can go back 92.3thefan.com. If I'm Eric Spoelstra, I'm thinking certainly about my future with the Miami Heat, whether or not I want to be their coach anymore, whether or not I want to go to the front office. Lima, that was a great idea by you. It seems that Heat culture is no longer there because a team like that just rolling over and die, that's not what Miami has done in the history. So I think that they need to go and look at themselves in the mirror as a franchise and figure out exactly who they want to be for their future. But for the Cavs and for us, you know, there's been a lot of, hey, we're good, but there's Boston. Hey, we're good, but this and that. You didn't have Darius Garland in these last two games. You smoked him. You've had Evan Mobley grow by leaps and bounds, I think, in this playoff series. You had DeAndre Hunter, who we just played, just having fun. Having fun. Ty Jerome. On another level to the point where he's playing where he's, don't get mad at me, guys. Like, he's playing himself out of a contract in Cleveland. I know that he says, oh, friends, we're all buddies and all this stuff. Well, if one of these other teams is willing to offer $10 million more a year, what are you going to do? But we'll worry about that after the season. If you were a cynic, has this team changed your mind? First, define a cynic for everybody, Tone. What was a cynical Cavs fan?
If you had called out the Cavs because the playoff stuff, like the Cavs, even under Bickerstaff, they played really hard in the regular season and they had no playoff success whatsoever. In fact, a bad flame out, and then the Knicks series was really bad. Those play-in losses before, Culminating last year, they didn't really have a fair fight because they weren't healthy. But a struggle of a series against the Magic, who had never been there before. Like, they hadn't had anything playoff-wise to hang their hats on. And this is different. This was record-setting. I mean, four games, not only a dominating sweep, but the biggest point differential in the history of the NBA playoffs. Like, this is answering the questions. I know it's only one round, and I know the Heat didn't want to be there. The Heat didn't have their best player because they traded him because he was disgruntled, and they have no point guard. Like, there's a million reasons why the Heat are bad. But this is what you earned. This is what winning 60-plus games in a regular season, when all the fans seem to discount regular seasons now and say nobody cares in the NBA about regular seasons. Well, the Cavs did. Cavs did care about the regular season, and they had, what, one bad stretch this year of a season that had people wondering, you know, and asking some questions. And I asked some questions, too. I mean, Donovan Mitchell and Darius were terrible for the better part, just shooting-wise. They did other things, but just shooting-wise, they were terrible for basically 2 months. And none of that mattered in this series. That's how dominant the Cavs were, and it was awesome to see.
I thought it was great spirit, because you're right. Like, last year against Orlando, I thought that they'd do much better against Orlando than they did. I think that they were in for a real fist fight against Orlando, and I hope that it toughened them up. I hope that there was a lesson. Like, I don't think Donovan needs to learn any lessons. I hope that there was a lesson learned from Evan and from everybody else. Like, they've become a better team. The trade for DeAndre Hunter, I think, is a masterstroke for Kobe Altman to actually make it happen. Because so many times, like, we were talking about DeAndre Hunter, what, a month before the trade went down? Maybe even longer? I mean, some people have been honing in on him for the last couple of years. But to talk about it in sincerity, it's one thing to talk about the trade. It's another thing for it to happen. And for him to be, I would say, basically revitalized and playing with this Cavaliers team and playing so well with this Cavaliers team, I think it's taken them to a different level. I think that we cannot underestimate how well he has fit in with this team in such a quick amount of time and help them out, and especially considering, yeah, that you've had Donovan with a groin, with a knee, with an ankle, Darius with his toe, Evan Mobley are always paying attention to his body, and DeAndre Hunter in different roles has been able to help out, because Kenny Atkinson was getting great stuff out of Caris LeVert. George Niang was doing better. He had slimmed down. You know, we love George, but it maybe was that time for George. Hopefully we can get it back during the offseason. Maybe some people don't. I know that this show loves George, so maybe we're looking at it through different colored glasses. But DeAndre Hunter and that job that he's done so far with this team, not just in the postseason, but the entirety of while he's been here, has been fantastic, and it's been a lot of fun. To see them get ready for Indiana, I understand that Indiana is going to be a different animal. We've been watching these other postseason series. You've been watching them closer than me. These are very physical matchups. I think Indiana will, because they should win tonight. There's no Dame Lillard anymore, and we don't know what he's going to do for the rest of his career after the Achilles tear, sad to say. Indiana should win tonight. We should get ready for a postseason second round series coming up this weekend. I don't think you're going to win every game, but I think that this series shows you just how serious this team is about getting to Boston, beating Boston, and getting to an NBA Finals.
I don't know if this would be used as bulletin board material in Indiana. They might be gearing up for the WNBA season. I'm not sure. But
We got a buddy going on a road trip for that, by the way.
I know. I have to tell you, like, I haven't thought about them. I've been thinking more about Boston every step of the way. And, yeah, I've been watching the Indiana series. They do have playmakers. They do have scorers. They do have so much more than the Heat do. But they still don't defend. And I don't know how they solve this conundrum of how in the hell you guard the Cavs. Especially with, did you see Evan Mobley last night? Kind of calmly step back three. Like, I know it's the Heat. The Heat's not playing any defense. But, like, just the fact that he can raise up confidently and do that, like, I don't think the Pacers are going to have any answers for them. And that's why my mind just has always been on Boston. You're still, no matter what, if you beat Indiana in four games and do it by 100 points and do it in convincing fashion, you're still going to be underdogs in that series against Boston. And you're going to have home court. And I kind of like it. I kind of like the situation, the collision course that we're going to be on right now with the Cavs. And I do. I feel better today about the prospects of them getting to the NBA Finals and having a chance to win it all than I did even 2 weeks ago.
216-474-0092. Henry and Akron, you're first up on the Fan.
Well, I agree. Do you remember when the Bulls beat the Cavs? I believe the Cavs are favorite in that game when Michael Jordan hit that shot over Craig Elo. Well, that's how I feel right now with this series. I love what the Cavs are doing, but Indiana or even Boston, and hopefully the Cavs is not favored over Boston because it's going to be a big letdown. Yeah, we can get there, but we still got to, you know, we got to get past Boston. That's going to be our nemesis is the Boston Celtics right there. And I don't want to look past Indiana, all right, at all. Let's make that clear.
What, wouldn't you find it to be a tremendous failure if they didn't get past Indiana on their way to Boston?
Well, it would be a tremendous failure.
Okay, so I think that you're allowed to look, you as a fan and as an analyst in your own right, I think you're allowed to look past Indiana. And if they were to fail against Indiana, I think you'd do every bit of an overreaction, especially if they look this good. The Heat are not trying, for the love of God, or at least they weren't this last game. But for them to look this good against this team in a 1-versus-8 matchup should give you a little bit more confidence, shouldn't it, Henry?
It does. It gives me a little bit more confidence. But y'all got to realize, Jimmy Butler is not with this team. They would have beat the Heat, but Jimmy Butler would at least gave them two games. Imagine me pulling your heart out, and then you expect you in the playoffs. I mean, Jimmy Butler was traded in the middle of the season.
We understand that. He also had 27 last night in the win over Houston. He's part of the reason that they're up 3-1 in that series. So I take Jimmy Butler very seriously. But I think it made it that much more important to have a sweep, Henry, and thank you very much for the call. I think it made it that much more important to have a sweep and look as good as you did doing it because they don't have Jimmy Butler. If they would have, like, if this were a game five coming back to Cleveland, if it were a tied series or even 3-1, I think there'd be things to pick apart and we'd be saying, and remember, they don't even have Jimmy Butler. That you won this series and you looked as good as you did on Saturday, and then yesterday was an abomination, a slap in the face to the game of basketball from the Miami Heat where you rubbed them out from the very beginning. I think that gives you a little bit of confidence that, hey, they knew they were not anywhere on your level, and they probably knew that from game one. Yes, Owen?
It seemed like a different obviously, the results were much different than last year's opening round series. But
yes.
Remember, that started with two ass-whoopings against the Magic. And then we went to Orlando. We were super confident going into Orlando, and then it became a series. And then it became a slugfest.
Right.
And then it became edge-of-your-seat stuff. And we didn't even have a chance at all for that. And it's great to not have any of that coming up. But it was like a joint practice for the Cavs, it felt like.
And just hoping guys don't get injured.
Right. Especially last, there was a point at the start of the third quarter, I'm like, why are any of the starters still out there? But there was opportunities for guys like Mobley to pull up for three because you're up 40 points, who cares?
Well, even
one up and see what happens.
Even from what you're going back, like what Henry was just saying, like, yeah, okay, I kind of rolled my eyes when he made the Jordan comparison. But I told you, you and I were sitting at the bar together on Saturday. What'd I say to you? Before the game, I go, I'm nervous. And I think part of that was because of last year.
Yeah, you should have been nervous going into Saturday's game.
You beat up Orlando the first two games. It's like, all right, is this the same? Are they going to, like, you've had Darius Garland talk trash. Tyler Hero talked it back. I didn't know how Saturday was going to go, and I didn't want them to wake up some sort of mythical echoes of Heat culture and have us all of a sudden in a 2-1 series and maybe 2-2 headed back to Cleveland. And they didn't allow for any of that to happen. Hey, it was non-competitive down there in Miami in these two games. Let me get to Josh in Berea. You're next up on the Fan. Hello.
What's up, fellas? I know I'm not a cynic. I mean, I'm sure that's no surprise, but. I mean, I just want to point out a little thing that's kind of going unnoticed. It kind of feels like the Cavs are sort of having a season of vindication. If you go back and look at Kenny Atkinson's career, he got fired because he wanted to start Jared Allen over DeAndre Jordan. He got fired by Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and the Nets organization, and that joke of the organization, because of Jared Allen. And you see what Jared Allen did last night? 6 freaking steals. I know everyone wants to say Miami didn't show up and all that crap. Go back and watch the tape. The Cavs were taking their soul out of the game. Donovan Mitchell was guarding everybody like it was a freaking game 7. I mean, Evan Mobley literally was just blocking the crap out of everything. And another reason why I loved us just sweeping the crap out of Miami, if you remember, LeBron said after the 2016 championship, Pat Riley told me I was making the biggest mistake of my career going back to Cleveland. Well, guess what, Pat Riley? How you like these? Let's go, Cavs!
I feel better about the Cavs. I already felt really good about the Cavs. I feel much better about them right now. Four-game sweep against Miami. I think that we learned a little bit more. I think we learned how dominant that Evan Mobley can be.
Yeah, we had a caller say earlier, like, oh, I don't want to take the Pacers for granted. Like, we're fans. We're allowed to. It's the team. It's the team I don't want taking anybody for granted. But me as a fan, like, I obviously think the Pacers are way, way more formidable than the Heat. But what does that get them? Does that get them one game? Do we think the Cavs can lose more than one game? You know, they obviously didn't have a lot of close, anxious moments in this series, so it's tough to extrapolate anything that happened in this series.
I'd be satisfied winning in five. I don't mean to cut you off. Five or six games. I respect Indiana. I respect what they've done during the regular season, and that they can be a finicky matchup for us.
Well, and we didn't struggle against them. That's the one team in the East I feel like we didn't have our core right. We only had two games where we had all the starters in against them, but it did feel like it was a closer matchup than it probably should have been in the regular season.
It's
probably going to be close.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
That was a quick sweep, and you know, the amazing part is, and I'm not very good at math, but I can count to 504, because that's how many points they dropped on the Heat in four games. 504 points, Jeff. I mean, they were just, and last night, to you know, put 138 on the floor, or 138 points last night. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I don't know if they're just so much in rhythm, or Miami was that bad.
Yes, and yes.
All right, I'll buy it.
I'd say yes to both of those things. This is the first time a 10 seed made it into the regular playoffs through the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's the last, if that's an indication of the type of basketball we're going to get. That was awful. And good for the Cavs. They get a little time to rest up.
I thought it was interesting watching the game yesterday. I was, you know, they were up, were they up 50 at one point? When they went up 49 points.
That's ridiculous.
I was like, are they going to take their foot off the pedal here? Like, I didn't know, you know, I think if it was a regular season game, maybe. I was trying to figure out like the unwritten rules going into this thing at the end. I mean, you don't want to embarrass another NBA team, but by the same token, you know, you don't want to give them any chance that they think they have a life. Kenny Atkinson reviewed a play late, which he was right, and he was right. I think they were up like 50 at the time that he did it. And I was like, is that in bad taste? But it was really weird.
The Heaters embarrassed themselves, Sandy. The Cavs didn't embarrass them. The Heat embarrassed themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
It was awful.
Yeah, but I just, like, what's the rule there? Like, I kept thinking to myself, you know, and by the way, if you noticed at the end of the game, they did it right? You know, there's like less than a minute to go in the game. Cavaliers had the ball. They walked it down the floor. They let time expire, and then Miami came back, and they had the ball, and they came back. Like, that unwritten rule of the game was fulfilled at the end of the game. Although, I mean, there were points there where Tyler Hero was so frustrated there, and I still think it was in the first half. I'm like, dude, you're down 40. You need to chill because you are getting crushed, absolutely crushed. Man, he only ended up with 4 points last night. Oh, he was minus 44. I don't even know that I've ever seen that number in a box score before. What give me your whole take on the whole series.
It was awful. When Miami didn't win one of the first two games in Cleveland, I thought they're going to win one in Miami because they played, they had some moments in the two games in Cleveland. You know, they never completely went away until late. And I thought they're going to win a game. But going into the series, I thought Cavs would win in five, maybe six, and they won in four. So they get a little extra time off. And there's nothing to say about the series. The Miami Heat, after games one and two, did not put up any effort. And that will lead to massive changes with Miami this year. Not with Pat Riley, not with Eric Spoelstra. That roster is going to get just changed. And Hero's up for a huge extension. Is he worth it? That's something Miami's going to have to figure out.
I guess the bigger question is what we ask at the end of every show. Like, I'm trying to figure out, what did we learn by this? I think we learned that the Cavaliers are no joke. And I don't think we thought they were a joke before. They're the number one seed going into this thing. I think we all kind of have Boston circled at the end. I think you better not look past Indiana.
You definitely better not look past Indiana.
So
Pacers could knock the Cavs out.
Why, though? Why do you say that?
Because they're a better team. They're a much better team than Miami.
Oh, better than Miami? You made it sound like they're a better team than the Cavaliers.
No, they're a much better team than Miami. Pacers are good. Pacers have some playoff experience.
So what?
They
has,
went further than the Cavs last year.
What has to be rearranged then off the deck that they were able to do against Miami that they won't be able to do against Indiana? What has to change? What do they need to do
what
to
does
be successful?
Who need to change?
The Cavaliers. Do they need to change? What
they
is
don't
going
need
to change
anything until they have to.
Meaning, just go at it the same way you've been going at it?
Yeah, go play your game. And if Indiana comes up with something that slows you down, then adjust. It's pretty simple. I don't mean to downplay the Miami series. Anybody who's going to be all giddy that they swept a team that didn't bother to show up for games three and four at home, you need to get over that fast, because Indiana's going to show up every game. They're going to. They have better talent. They're equally as well coached. Rick Carlisle's a terrific coach, and we're assuming Indiana, you know, wins one of the next three against Milwaukee. We're assuming that. I would assume that, especially with Dame Lillard not being there. I would assume that it's five or six. And Indiana's going to show up, and that's going to be a series. And if I had to pick a team to win the series, I would pick the Cavs.
Donovan Mitchell, after the game last night, was talked about. So the first time they could play, I think, is Saturday. That's the earliest they could play in this series against Indiana. So, you know, here we go again. It seems like this happens every year. We ask ourselves the question, rest or rust? Rest or rust? And Donovan Mitchell was asked about that after the game on TNT last night.
I mean, I'm always a big fan of rest. It's the best I've felt in my career. So the biggest thing is now is just use that, take advantage of it. You know, and I understand I can still get out working. We're not at the house chilling. Be ready for Milwaukee or Indiana.
I'll buy. I think every time we get in this conversation about whether, oh, are you going to sit out a week? What are you going to do? Blah, 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 blah. I would think it always comes. I mean, you might come out a little rusty in the first 5 minutes of the first quarter of a game of the next series, game one. But it's over after that. I think once you break a sweat, you can forget about the rust thing. I think it is probably one of the most overblown storylines in any series. But what does it happen? Every once in a while, a team comes out rusty because they were sitting for too long. It's not going to happen to the Cavaliers. I really don't think so.
I don't think it happens very often at all with any team. And with Donovan Mitchell, you know, being injured leading into this, with Darius Garland missing the last two games, Cavs can use a little rest. Heal up, feel better, go win a series. Honestly, I think it's pretty simple.
All right, so again, give me the positives and the negatives of this last series against Miami.
Positives, nobody was significantly injured.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Garland, and you get some time off. The only thing, if you're looking for a strategic thing that I think might be good, Garland didn't play the last two games. I'm not going to go into anything like, you know, you should trade Darius Garland. You shouldn't trade Darius Garland.
I've heard that storyline the last couple. Like, they just swept Miami. Do we have to really sit here and talk about whether they're going to trade a guy or how they're going to hang on to Ty? Like,
no,
I'm so not wanting to worry about what is coming up after the playoffs. Can we worry about the playoffs? Like, I think we waste a lot of breath sometimes not living in the moment. Look where your feet are right now. I say this all the time. Look where your feet are. Like, I don't, if if they need to do something with Garland at the end of the season, go ahead. But I know where Garland is now. I know that he can play. I know that he's an asset to this team. I know they've been able to play good basketball, whether he's on the floor or not. He's a part of the team. Can we please just kind of chill for a second on whether we're sitting here about whether, oh, is this going to work or is this not going to work and for another year in a row with him and Donovan Mitchell? Can we just stop the narrative? What, we're just looking for something to talk about. We can stop. We can stop during the playoffs and worry about it after they get after they win the championship. I'll be positive about it. Sorry.
Without Darius on the floor, DeAndre Hunter had a little more run. Dean Wade had a little more run. I like that lineup a lot. And so it gave them a different look with a little bigger lineup that might come in handy against Indiana and would definitely come in handy against Boston if that eventually happens. That's the only thing I take out of the Miami series.
Yeah,
that's it.
Am I wrong by saying live in the moment right now? Because let's face it, Jeff, I mean, I'm not trying to be old on this or not, but we haven't seen many championships in this town in our lifetime, one. And, you know, to even keep advancing in the playoffs and to watch the way the Cavaliers are playing, like, they're the top seed in the East. I know we all have this this fear of Boston, but is there any point where we should just kind of relax for a second? Because now would be the time to say, wow, they're playing great. They played great all season. They just absolutely destroyed Miami. Let's see what the next challenge is. Hopefully it's tougher, and it should be because that's the way the playoffs are made. Can we enjoy the moment for a second here? Is that asking too much?
I'll add in, I think the biggest positive coming out of this series, guys, is the fact that the Cavaliers just went, we're better than you, and we know it, and boom, good luck.
Took care of it.
I mean, there was one game that I think the three of us would call close-ish, and it was until Donovan Mitchell just went, all right, fine, I'm done here.
I'm taking over.
I don't want to be here anymore.
Well, or you could say the same thing until Ty Jerome did it in the first game.
Exactly.
You know, those first two games, I thought, wow, Cavs needed somebody to go absolutely nuts in game one and absolutely nuts in game two to make sure they put away the 10th seed. That obviously didn't have a whole lot of interest in being there because we saw that in games three and four. If you're looking for a cautionary thing, that's it. I mean, Jerome went, what did he have, 16 points in the fourth quarter? And then Donovan had 17 in the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you needed unreal efforts to win those games. Okay, but you got them. And then the next two games, Miami didn't bother to show up. So there's not a ton to take out of that. Just when you have a home game, and against a team like Indiana, if that ends up being the case, unlikely that you're going to have somebody go for 16 and 17 because they're better than Miami in the fourth quarter. So they'll just have to, I think, play a little bit better than they did against Miami in those two home games. And then Miami just didn't show up.
I don't know how you face that. I mean, you're an NBA team. Like, you go back, if you're Miami, I would not go back and watch what we saw in last night's game when Barkley, like, straight out called you up at halftime and said, you quit.
Well, they were awful, Andy. They did quit. They did.
As much as they quit, I still think Hero tried to play hard the whole way through. It's not... I don't know if it's a total team effort, but they just,
let's be real honest, guys. TNT should have did everybody a favor and just put Jaws on for the second half until the next game.
Not a bad idea.
I mean, that's really what that looked like after the first half, is it was like, okay, can we just get Jurassic Park on? We've got it laying over here. We're TNT. We always have it. Lord of the Rings. I don't even care which one. Just put an hour and a half of it on.
216-474-0092. James is in East Cleveland. James, start us off this morning just talking about last night's game, concerns, worries, and how good can you feel about after last night's game? What do you got, James?
Well, thanks for taking my call. What I first took from the whole series against the Heat is I want to get into two things here, mostly. But basically, number one thing I took is the mid player that Andrew Wiggins has become. When we took him first, I remember there was much debate about training for Kevin Love. Proof is in the pudding. I'm glad we did that. Got a championship out of it. And he's just kind of like a mediocre player now.
Okay.
As far as the play-in tournament, I think it needs to be some adjustments made to it. I don't think, and I was looking at the standings schedule first, but I don't think it should be a play-in tournament. I think it should be a qualification of being at least a 500 team. In this situation, they did the play-in tournament when the Heat
was like 37-45. The Magic were 41-41, and the Bulls was 39-43. I don't think if you hit the 500, you shouldn't even be playing in. Why take out a team that finished 500 to replace them with a team that's below 500? I think that should be the first standard across the board to even initiate a play-in. It should only be a play-in if the eighth seed is below 500 as well. Then you bring that in. But you shouldn't let below 500 teams in the playoffs just to do it. You know, I know it's a money-making business. And then the last thing I want to take out of the series is Donovan Mitchell has been coasting the whole year. Like, not coasting, he's playing terrific, but he's been letting other players take over the game, get into their groove. But with this Pacers series, with this tough Pacers team that I think could get a couple games or maybe even push us to seven, they're young, energetic, they got bodies to throw at us. I think it's time to see the real Donovan. I think it's time for all the, you know, let you take over. I think it's time for him to take over.
James, I got you. I agree with you, what you're saying. By the way, James, anyone ever tell you you sound like Kendrick Lamar a little? Did you ever hear that?
I wish I had his money. That would be nice.
I think you sound just a little bit like him. James, have a great day. Appreciate you.
Thank you, James.
I think he brings up some great points. I want to come back and talk about some of those. Phone lines are open. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Cavs sweeping the Heat. What's next?
Well done, Cavaliers.
They did it.
I believe, and we couldn't get the audio because it could not be found.
Mac says the audio doesn't exist.
I was trying to do this without throwing Mac under the bus. So Mac, does not me throwing you under the bus. It couldn't be found.
At Mac some says point, you said it in a fever dream.
At some point, which could happen. I might have said it in a fever dream and on air. At some point yesterday, I uttered the words, I want to see Craig Porter Jr. for the entire fourth quarter. And that's exactly what happened. And as a matter of fact, this was such an ass-kicking last night that I had to pick up a store order for Nash. He put an order in. I went and picked it up.
Yeah.
So I was 15 minutes delayed to home.
Which, by the way, should signal exactly what a lot of people thought about this game going into the game, that you could even do an order at the store and feel comfortable, like, I'm not going to miss anything. I'll be fine.
Oh, well, because I was listening the whole time, and I was like, oh, hey. By the time I get home, this game should have some juice to it, right? This is the Heat's last stand. But I got home at 8:15. The game was over. Game was over in the first quarter.
No, but you know what I mean, though. Like, if it's a game six or a game seven, there's no order that Ness is putting in that you'd go and derail your night. You'd be sitting right in front of your couch ready to go by the time you have tip-off.
I would kindly ask her to pick it up herself that one time.
Of course you would, yeah.
But okay, remember when Barkley in, what was that, game three in Miami?
It was game three. Barkley, they're up 14-5, and Barkley steps in. I still have no idea why they went to Barkley, but he steps in and is like, this game's over. The Heat are going to win this one.
And it was the dumbest thing he could have possibly said. Where was he last night? Because about 5 minutes into that game...
Making Galveston jokes?
The game or San Antonio women jokes, which
This is not a commentary on Barkley. We'll get on the game more than anything, but like
he's
the idea.
He's not beloved because of his accuracy.
That's it. Is there anybody that's positioned themselves better in our sports world to just be routinely wrong and nobody cares?
McAfee?
Is McAfee routinely wrong?
Nobody, you don't watch Pat McAfee because he's right. You watch him because he's funny as hell. He's entertaining as hell.
Yeah.
By the way, that's exactly what this should be. If there's a guy that you only watch because he is more right than he is wrong about sports, you might be the anomaly.
But
everybody else is in the entertainment game.
And the game three one, though, hit a spot where I almost thought he was just trying to be wrong intentionally. You know what I mean? Like,
was he bored and polishing his hot takes?
Yes. Like in a world where way too many people that do what we do care about being right in such an... It's weird is what it is, how much they care about being right, because there's no...
It's 90% of this business.
But your hit rate is always going to be... It's always going to be awful anyway. It's just you can have the right analysis, the right everything, and still miss. It's
you
how this works.
You can have teams tell you directly what they're going to do,
and teams
get it wrong.
It's just the reality of the job, but so many of these people care so much. I think Barkley intentionally, I think he wants to be mega wrong at least like twice a month.
I think it's
just entertaining for him to come into game three and say stuff like that, or even before the series. Before the series, he was the only chotch out there talking about the Heat having a chance.
Well, I like you running with the word chotch.
It felt good, if I'm being honest.
And
I know it's your word,
it,
but yeah. It felt good when
I said it. Now it's our word. Hey, we are.
Do I have permission for Chach?
We are the show of Chach. That's what we'll, that's how we're going to describe.
It was much nicer than the word I thought of in my head.
Yeah, me too. I will say, I think you've got a good point there. No, I mean, listen, the first three games I thought were sheer brilliance by the Cavaliers. I thought it was just will-busting stuff. I thought it was just a team that said, it was the LeBradford Smith, right? It was the, we're going to dream something up you said in our head that you'd never said, and then we're going to go out there and kick your ass for it. Game four was that the first three games, the Cleveland Cavaliers destroyed the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Game four was the Heat did not show up. I mean,
they had nothing.
I don't even know if you're Eric Spoelstra, how did you even put your guys out there? Like, that is a off-season lingering kind of malfeasance from Bam, from Tyler Hero, from your best players. They just they got themselves exposed, but they exposed themselves.
At one point, and I don't know what broadcast you were watching last night. I actually watched the local broadcast, but they had pointed out, whether it was Tyler Hero, might have been somebody else involved with the Heat, the idea that Spoelstra made commentary before the series of like, well, what do you want to do? Do you guys want to be in the play-in game and then go through all this? Or do you just want to go ahead and end the season, essentially? As if like he offered him up a chance to go, like, not even do
like
the
one,
round.
1-2-3 on Cancun, the old cliche?
Basically, like, because they didn't get there based off of anything that team had assembled and done. They got there based off of Jimmy Butler and that team. They knew they were fraudulent. They knew they weren't very good. They knew they weren't talented. They could have easily just said, all right, we won't even do it. But apparently they got offered up at some point. Like a choose your own direction. They chose to do the playoffs and then go through the first three games getting just destroyed and then last night waving the white flag.
I gotta give Jake Murren, our great producer, some credit here because he had said in the pre-show, he and his wife were having a debate last night. If you're a Heat fan, how much of last night's game did you watch? Well, we know Heat fans. They weren't actually watching last night. Maybe they caught a couple highlights. Maybe they did like a very popular national podcast about it. But if we go by, like, if you were a Cavs fan and that was who you were, I think once you got, I think there was about 7 minutes into the second quarter and you were clearly up by more than 30 points, you knew. And here's the thing. It wasn't just about the Cavs.
I mean,
you saw the lack of fight.
It was 38-8. When have you ever seen a game start 38-8 and have a different outcome?
But that was even so early that you're like, they can go on a run.
Now I was too online last night. I'm crossing up who said what now. Somebody made the commentary of how much they were betting when the Heat were down like 30, being like, this is the type of game that the Heat won. It's like, well, in no world. But I told you, I was watching with my father-in-law. My father-in-law came over last night, and he's a diehard Cleveland everything fan. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there on the couch. It's third quarter, and I'm like, all right, can we get this thing moving? Can we be done with this and put it on the other TV and just kind of end the evening and watch like actual stuff? And he's like, no. This is the most relaxed I'm going to be for the rest of the postseason.
That's a good
point.
So
I need to enjoy this. Yeah. I'm gonna soak this in. I'm going to take in the idea that I just get to just chill and have a massive lead. And I said, okay, fine.
So by the time I got home, it's 8:15, 8:30. And Vanessa's like, we're going to get the Cavs game on the big screen. And I was like, I'm going to go sit in the sunroom. I'm going to put the game
last
on my
phone.
Last
night was a great sunroom night. I should have taken advantage of that.
We're going to open up the door. Mongo and the Cashy Boy are going to sit there and just sniff. Oh, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to talk to the girls about how their days went because during the NBA playoffs, on any given night, there's not a lot of time with 1 hour to go before bed. I watched the game. I saw everything I needed to. Saw Craig Porter Jr. play in the fourth quarter. Tristan Thompson play all the fourth quarter. And I caught up with my family.
That's it. It was a good night for
because
that.
Because by the time my ass hit the chair in the sunroom, the game was so far from over that, and I know this because I was driving home, and Tim Alcorn, the voice of the Cavs, is laughing. He's like he went from all business in the first 5 minutes of that game to incredulity for 43 minutes of basketball. It was so damn funny hearing him and Jim Jones just like giggling at how bad Miami was and how the Cavs were just teeing off on any shot they wanted.
Because I did stay and watch the entirety of that game, and it was like almost like you know, what's the movie where they like have the eyes 100% open?
Oh, that's Clockwork Orange.
The Kubrick, yeah. Because it felt like that for me. Let me give you three quick observations, okay? Three quick late game observations.
One.
Number one, Kenny Atkinson challenging a play up 45 is incredible theater. I love that man for that.
That was spite.
I love that he did that, and that was wild.
That was
You're
purpose.
Up 45 points, yep. And you challenge.
Yeah.
and you're like pissed on the sidelines. When you do it, you're like, I'm getting this call right.
I'm going to tell you right now, it had nothing to do with that call.
That was wild, and I loved it.
Two.
Number two, Isaac Okoro not entering the game until midway through the third quarter was low-key hysterical. like he didn't want to empty the bench. He went through just eight guys for well into the third quarter, and Okoro got no time until that point. And it was like, what did Okoro do to you?
He went to Javonte Green and Jalen Tyson before he went to Isaac Okoro.
It was absolutely wild.
Sorry about that, Mac.
And then the final one was the idea that he continued to play everyone. And I just kept yelling, what happens if Jared Allen, as he goes for that dunk that he went, if he just tears an ACL, and then you have to explain to everyone, oh yeah, we were up 50, but Jared Allen still wanted to play. What happened there? So that was an interesting move, but a lot of observations lights.
216-474-0092. We rejoice. The Cavaliers moving on to the second round of the playoffs. We're pretty certain it's going to be Indiana. They're up 3-1. They do play tonight, and Milwaukee's coach is Doc Rivers, at least for now. So it's pretty set in stone that there won't be coming back from down 3-1 right there. We'll just figure out when the Pacers advance. We got plenty to get to today, though, on the show. Quick Hits coming up at 2:40. Bill Ryder, a host of Ryder Than You, NBA insider as well. He's going to join us at 3. We're going to pick his brain on the Cavs and really, did this series change his thoughts on maybe where the Cavaliers were before going into that series? Albert Breer coming up at 5:20. Might have a special guest or two along the way. We'll see kind of how things play out today. But 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. How surprising was the Cavs' level of dominance, not just in maybe last night's game where the Heat totally laid down, but if you look at it, the Cavs have the greatest differential from their opponents in NBA history for the NBA playoffs, plus 122 points. How surprising was that? And we have to get to stocks being raised across the board for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Several people here now, on this station, just big picture wise, saying don't sleep on Indiana, but plan to get to another rain delay for the Cleveland Guardians. Maybe they just should have not let them resume play when the Guardians have a 2-0 lead and now it's tied 2-2. So if you don't resume the game, you have to resume at some point later in the season. Maybe something like that. I was just thinking out loud.
I mean, we watched in one little stretch there. Will Wilson, your guy, related to you. What
not
your
my
relation?
Guy at all.
How's your relation to him? Is he a cousin?
Young nephew, not my
young
guy
nephew.
At all.
Okay. Anyway, so Wilson on the back of a Guardians jersey. I always knew that day would happen for you. So Will Wilson fell, and then John Kenzie Noel fell, and then Nolan Jones fell, and everyone's falling.
Yeah, which is bad. I would say if three people fell after a rain delay, that meant there wasn't enough time to get all the water off the field. That's just as an amateur yardsmith myself.
Yeah, like when John Kenzie does it, you think to yourself, oh, just a big man falling right there is all it is. But once Wilson does it, and then once Nolan Jones does it, who, by the way, I mean, he had the pinch hit opportunity, but he's in center field to be good at defense in that moment, he just fell, never stood a chance.
So it's been interesting how many different conversations we've had about this Cavs-Pacers series off the air, and how it really is the expectations in Cleveland really do span the gambit of I want another sweep, and I understand this might be a 6 or 7 game series. It is wild how across the board how different the many takes are on the potential expectations for this series.
I think I was like a lot of people where I think I had a perception of the Pacers going into the series, and now after a couple days, you're like, oh, they were playing much better basketball than maybe I gave them credit for. Past couple months, they've looked a lot better. It's just, we're better than them at just about every area.
Yeah, like if Darius doesn't play in the first 3 games of the series, you still have the two best players in the series. Fair? Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley.
I hadn't thought about that. I think Evan Mobley is for sure going to be better than Haliburton. I don't know that you can say that right now. I like Haliburton a lot. He's really good.
I think we're bordering on the point that he's overrated.
Haliburton? Well, that's what he was named the NBA's most overrated player.
Yeah, and he's averaged 18 points a game. He's a nice player. He can fill up buckets, but I mean, he's eight. I'm not trying to boil it down to one spot, but
It's 18 points a game.
Well, and obviously Evan plays much better defense than him. That's not even debatable. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just that's,
and Siakam's there, but he's inefficient.
But they're different. It's different roles, and that's interesting. Let's ask Chris that, because I if you made me choose on the schoolyard, I would take Mobley over Halliburton. I know I would, but I also look at it like maybe that's a tighter race than I think a lot of Cavs fans realize.
Is it a hot take to say I'd clearly take Darius over Halliburton?
Yeah, I think that's a hot take.
Like, let me put it this way. If you put Darius on Indiana, I think Darius is scoring more than 20 points per game or 21 points per game.
Yeah, I think Halliburton is better than Darius.
How?
And I don't think...
In what way?
Well, okay, we can't just boil it down to points per game. If that's the metric we're going to use,
then that's just... saying, like, that's just the most
He's a better defender.
One.
He's a very much better defender than Darius is.
Okay. Is he a better shooter?
I'd say he's also better with assists and playmaking.
Oh, I think Darius's assist numbers are down a little bit just because he's sharing the ball. I think
that, let's put it this way. When you ask Chris who's better, Mobley between Halliburton, I think he'll say Mobley, and I think he'll honor the question. If you say who's better between Halliburton and Darius, I think he's going to be kind because he likes Darius, but I can all but assure you that answer is not going to go the way of Darius Garland.
Is it just because that Halliburton's the best player in Indiana and Darius is the third best player on this team?
It might boil down to that. Like, I think the argument you would try to make if you're going the other direction is that if Darius was put, and I think you were starting there, right? If Darius was put on Indiana, let's put it this way. If Darius was on Indiana last year, did they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals? I don't believe they do.
Well, I mean, Darius wasn't healthy last year. So is he as healthy as...
But, like, how many games would Indiana win if Darius Garland was just put on the Pacers and Halliburton was put on the Cavs?
I think they'd win a lot of games. I think Darius... I dare say we're underrating Darius here in this conversation. Listen, I'm not saying...
Darius. I don't want to do the throw down Darius to prop up Halliburton here, because Halliburton's like a villain in the NBA right now, so that's not great. But
I don't want to overrate Darius here, so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying, like... I would put them in the same pantheon, Darius and Tyrese.
I'd be curious to find out what Chris thinks about that, because we're going to be in a disagreement there, and that's okay.
But specific to this series, one of the things that we've talked about, is it okay to hold the Cavs to a higher standard in the second round because of how they played in the first round?
So I think fans are going to expect it to be just an absolute beatdown. Everyone kept doing like the belt to ass thing after every single Heat game.
Say it with your chest against the Pacers.
Say it with conviction, guys. Just for one time, say it with conviction.
We've been saying it for a while.
But yeah, so I
do
think
from Kevin Hart.
It's odd because I feel like if you win by 8 or 10 points, I feel like Cavs fans will be like, "Where was the third Cavalanche?" Just because we just went through Miami as if they were Swiss cheese.
Oh, it's interesting. I put it more on the duration of the series than maybe how close the games are.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm expecting a 5 or 6 game series. I'm not expecting a sweep, obviously, and I am expecting Indiana to win a game or two.
I think there are going to be people, in the same way that people overreacted to just completely dusting an absolute crap team in Miami. And, I mean, thank God Tyler Hero said they weren't going out for nothing, because they went out for nothing. They got swept. Tyler was wrong. He is no hero. He is a zero. Now, in the same way that people overreacted to that, I think if you go in town more specifically with this series, I think if this thing goes 6 or 7 games, even if you still win, people are going to feel like it's Orlando series last year, instead of just giving the Pacers the credit they deserve.
Yeah, I think the Pacers deserve more credit than that. I really do. I think they're just a much better team than that.
Do you think it'll be a disappointment for Cavs fans if this thing goes longer than 5 games? Conversation I've heard, and again, I talked to more casual fans.
Get to Boston, and I think we can erase a lot of that. Now, it depends. It depends too, though. Is Darius playing? Is Darius healthy in all this?
That's a really good. I don't know.
I mean, Atkinson, again, we'll play the clip and do all that. But Atkinson did say that he thinks that this toe injury is going to be something he has to deal with for the duration of the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe. Okay. Let's say you start the first 2 games of, and no. Let's say Darius at some point comes into this series, and it's a 6-game series. I don't think you or I will be disappointed. But I think there's going to be people saying, well, can you really beat Boston if the Pacers took you to 6 games?
Yeah, I think there is more than just winning and advancing, obviously, right? Like, the Knicks played that Pistons series, and it's been neck and neck, essentially, even if at one point it was 3-1. But the Knicks look like they're slightly better than that Pistons team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, people learned a lot about the Knicks in that series. Like, if this series ends up being you come out of it looking just slightly better than the Pacers, then I think you'll go into the Boston series feeling way different than what you're feeling right now.
I just think it's okay to hold the Cavs to a higher standard.
Yeah, like, I think that's fine.
And it shouldn't be just about the Miami series, but the Miami series was about clearing a specific hurdle, and you did it with flying colors. So hey, they got punched in the mouth, and then they really staggered for half of a game. That should be in the rearview mirror. You know, like, am I certain? Like, I think for almost everything the Pacers are going to try and do, I think you have some sort of maneuver. Right? Like, you are the deeper, yeah. You are the more talented team.
You're basically, in many ways, they are, they're just a slightly worse version of everything the Cavs do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in every way of it, and you make an argument their defense is much worse than our defense. I think that's where, like, there's a true separator there. But, like, everything the Pacers do, and what they get credit for, and what they do at many perceived to be a high level, the Cavs just do a little bit better.
216-474-0092. Is it okay to hold the Cavs to a higher standard in the second round? Meaning, when you walk into this series, is just being really, really good and taking this series to six games, is that enough?
You sound like you need the exclamation point.
I think if we're going to base our expectations on the potential Boston series, on how you handle the first and second round of the playoffs, I'll feel a hell of a lot better going into that Boston series that cavalanches can happen at will if you lay it on the Pacers and you get through this thing in five games. If you go six or seven games, and by the way, how it looks matters. We know this. How much Darius plays matters. What's the rest of the health? You know, there's so many things that factor in here. But yeah, for me to think that they've got, I've heard this a lot with the Cavs sweeping the Heat. It's a coin flip. Right, the Eastern Conference Finals right now, in the minds of some NBA analyst, is a coin flip.
Yeah,
for me to feel that way in any way, you got to dust the Pacers, and you have to look. You have to make this series look more convincing than Boston's going to do with the Knicks, and I think the Knicks are a tougher matchup for the Celtics than the Pacers should be for you.
Shams reporting that after conversations with Tyrese Halliburton's father, John Halliburton, who you had words about before the show, by the way, the Pacers have decided, and he's agreed, he's not going to attend the team's home and road games for the foreseeable future.
Mm.
So we're not going to have, like, John Halliburton going up to Evan Mobley and staring him down after the game.
We're not going to have it because he's got to get his burgeoning media career off the ground.
Is that it? Now's the time to strike?
He handled it so well. Like, he put out the personal apology. His son handled
it's like,
it so
it's
well.
It's like Hawk to a girl. He needs to strike when the iron's hot.
And then he was on random podcast, and I was like trying to tell his side of the story. I'm like, no, you didn't. You were wrong. You already said you were wrong. There's no more explaining necessary, John.
Max trying to buy his meme coin already.
Halicoin?
Halicoin.
Daddy's back.
That's the progression in this, right? You get to be really viral. You have, like, your big time moment, and then you start a podcast, and then you have a meme coin, and then people forget about you.
Man, I want a meme coin and be
you
forgotten.
Can make one. You can make one. I don't know that Nick people coin. Will buy. I don't know that people will buy it.
Ching, ching.
But you can make one.
Brian in Cleveland, is it okay, that's the money sound, to hold the Cavs to a higher standard in the second round?
Absolutely. I feel like the Cavs have pretty much been pedal to the metal all year. And honestly, Indiana's pretty much been scraping by. I mean, I feel like they've been better throughout the last couple of seasons. Halliburton obviously is an all-star, playing at a decent level. I mean, you know, it's opinionated, real judgmental thing to say who's better than who. You know, everything is subjective, opinion-based. In my own personal opinion, Darius Garland, I feel like they're about on the same level. Darius Garland's been up in his play big time. They have a system here with Kenny Atkinson. But you switch teams, I can't say that Darius Garland is going to do the same thing as Tyrese Halliburton. I'm going to say this. Forget scoring, okay, because, I mean, anybody is dropping 20, 30 points off the bench in today's NBA.
It's but
the defensive things Tyrese can do, I feel like even just size. I mean, size isn't everything, but Tyrese is considerably bigger.
He led the league in assists 2 years ago. I get what you're saying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even still, Siakam, very inefficient. I agree with you there. I feel like the Indiana Pacers are just outmatched. I feel like we just came off the biggest first round, you know, blowout sweep in Cavs history. I can't say as far back as LeBron. I don't personally know. But to beat a team like that, in the playoffs after your expectations have already been so high?
Brian.
Nothing less. Nothing
you
less
said you couldn't you couldn't say about the were you alive with the LeBron years? You sound like an aged man.
Oh, yeah. I started getting into it when LeBron came into the league, but I'm saying I'm not going to be one of those faking guys that's going to bring stats up off the top of my head, you know, and start speaking out the side of my neck.
All right,
that's
Brian.
I won't do.
Brian, we appreciate you saying it with your chest. That's how we do it here on this show. We always say everything we say is said with conviction.
He said speaking out of the side of his neck, and it got me.
216-474-0092. Is it okay to hold the Cavs to a higher standard in the second round? Shams saying on the Pat McAfee show that Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday could be prime trade candidates this summer because the Celtics are looking for cost-cutting options.
New ownership, and they already want to bail on money.
The end of the Boston Celtics championship dynasty, as we all knew it. Chris Fedor coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Mark Boyle was just with us, the Pacers' 37-year play-by-play guy. Mm.
And a lot of work.
That's a lot of basketball, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a lot of basketball. And to me, and I asked Mark about this, and he seemed to think, yeah, he's thinking along the same lines as we are. If you look at these two rosters, to me it screams, okay, what wins out? Is it the Cavaliers' combination of two really good guards who are on the smaller side and two really good big guys, Evan and Jarrett? And then, you know, so you got these two 6'1", 6'2 guys, and then you have 6'9 and 6'11 in Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley. And then, you know, whatever you put it at small forward, whether that's Max Strus or Isaac Okoro for a given time, or DeAndre Hunter. And then Indiana has four guys who start who are between 6'4 and 6'8. So they have these longer bodies who can mess with the Cavs' guards. But they don't have the bigger bodies other than Miles Turner. They have one, Miles Turner, who starts, who's 6'11", who's terrific. I like Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm.
So can the Cavs slow down these longer wing guys, basically? And a couple of them are guards, obviously. And can the Pacers not let either the two small guards for the Cavaliers or the two big guys for the Cavaliers dominate the series or dominate a game? So to me, it's a really interesting matchup in roster construction because they're very different.
But both teams like to score. both teams are very good in the fourth quarter. I he talked about the rebounding. I agree with him on that. I look at the series and I keep saying to myself, okay, this is going to be even. Yeah, and then I smack myself. It's not good. And then I punch myself and then I realize I'm looking in a mirror and then it's not good. But I just think the Cavs are a better team.
Well, I don't think there's any question.
So at the end of the day, I ask myself, why am I completely like nervous about this series? Well, I do think Indiana has the experience, more experience than the Cavaliers do.
They've had more playoff success than the Cavs had.
So I think those are the things that keep. I need them to play already. You know what I'm saying? Because the regular season didn't mean anything, especially at the end of the year. No one was playing in those last two games of the year. So it's all kind of mythical as we walk into this series. And, you know, I was a little nervous about Miami, too. I'm not going to lie. Because we kept asking ourselves, can we believe what we're seeing? Can we believe what we're seeing? And now you'll see this against a team that is worthy of answering that question. And worthy of saying, if they can beat the Pacers here, then who knows what the ceiling is for the rest of the season. And the more I think about this, I want to have the confidence in the Cavaliers that I just say, you know what, the Cavs should beat these guys in six. I don't think there's any question about this. And go do it. Maybe they'll have an off night. Maybe they'll have one of those nights where no one gets hot or they don't have like they did in the beginning of the Miami series where they needed one guy to step up. They needed somebody to have a hot fourth quarter. They needed one guy to stand up above the rest. I think Indiana may have a couple of those guys too. That's, I think, our fear, and that maybe gives you the two in the six-game series. But if the Cavs play the way they know how to play, the way we've watched them play, if they move the ball, if they take smart shots, I still get so, and I say it every time I talk about this team, nothing irritates me more than when they have a good lead and they step across the line and they take a shot like 5 seconds into the shot clock. They need to be smart against Indiana.
It's interesting to me that Mark brought up something that we talked about yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? That everything the Cavaliers have been great at this year, especially on the offensive side, you know, points. Cavs were first in the NBA, second in field goal percentage, second in three-point percentage. Everything the Cavs are great at, Indiana's pretty good at. And so,
but the rebounding part, I think he's right about that.
The rebounding is, well, and that's what, you know, that's one of the things that I just threw out, Andy, because, you know, the Cavs have the two big guys. And that's a huge rebounding edge for the Cavaliers. They have Miles Turner, the Pacers. And other than that, you know, they're dealing with shorter guys, but not, you know, not 6'1", 6'2". And what, against many teams, huge advantage for the Cavaliers with offensive shooting, points, getting up and down the floor. Not as big of an overall advantage for the Cavaliers against the Indiana Pacers. Doesn't mean it's not an advantage. It's just not a dominating situation as it was against many teams during the regular season. Bill called 216-474-0092. Hello, Bill.
Hey, guys. Jeff, hey, you're stealing my thunder, thank goodness. It's good. You know, this is where we have an advantage. And I think in basketball, it's always about where's the mismatch and where can you deliver on. And right now, the NBA is addicted to the three-point shot. And if we do that with our 2 6-foot-1 guards, we're playing into, it's not our weakness, but our strength was like one game with Miami. We scored 60 points in the paint. They scored 28. And so this is where if Mobley is leading our team in scoring or second in leading in scoring and shots.
Getting a lot of touches, Bill. I was just going to say that. Yep.
Well, Jeff, I thought you probably did, but he's got to have a lot of touches. And also, you know, both of the big men need a lot of touches. But anyway, if they do that, I don't think we'll have any trouble. Thanks a lot, you guys.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. I do think that I think the Cavs need to try to exploit the advantage that they have size-wise against Indiana, at least among the starters. Jim's in Strongsville. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys, listen, I don't care about two small guards. Look, if the Cavaliers lose this series, it'll be a major disappointment for Cleveland, and it'll be considered a major upset. I don't think there's a single guy on Indiana's roster matched up with the Cavaliers' counterpart is better. Maybe you can make an argument for Halliburton, but I would say that Halliburton, that's very close. And we're putting all this stuff on the big guys. Look, what it's going to come down to is what it always comes down to in the NBA, who shoots better, and particularly who shoots better from three. That's where the Cavaliers are good. I don't care that they're two small guards. Guess why? Because Darius Garland, at least lately, has been shooting the lights out. So you know what? I will trade 2 for 3 all day long with their big guards on Darius Garland. I would welcome Indiana to shoot and go 2 for 3 with us. That's just a recipe for disaster. I think we've seen from the Celtics, Golden State, and everybody else that 3 is more than 2.
The only thing there, Jim, Indiana's pretty good at shooting threes. They were ninth best in the NBA. It was 36.8 for them, 38.8 for the Cavs. So
how many more did we make, though?
I don't have in front of me.
Value matters, too. Value matters in this, Jeff. You know what I mean?
Well, it does as long as you're hitting them. And the Cavs certainly hit them during the regular season. There's no question about that.
And they hit them in this last series against Miami.
We're going to cavalanche them. I don't care about our small guards.
Cavalanche. Nice. All right, Jim. Later, thanks, boys. Buddy. Appreciate Peace. That. And that's possible, Andy. It certainly is. I just, you know, in basketball, I think certainly more than in baseball, you know, the pitcher-batter matchup is a big deal. But, and more in football, man, matchups and the way a roster is constructed, and that gives coaches something to attack. You know, we're going to try this, we're going to do this. And if it doesn't work, then you adjust. You know, mm-hmm. you'll have to adjust. And if it doesn't work and you can't adjust, well, then the other team wins the series. right?
Right.
And so that's, I think that's what we're going to see as this thing unfolds a little bit. How does that first game play out? Is Jim right? Do the Cavs put up so many threes and they hit them? Or do the Cavs put up a lot of threes, don't hit them? Does the length of Indiana out on the wings, out in the backcourt, you know, I mean, Halliburton's 6'5", big wingspan. He's going to be on Mitchell or Garland. Is he going to affect their shots? As Mark Boyle just told us.
I don't know. I mean, both those guys are good at getting around guys. I mean, I mean, they're really good at getting
without
around
question,
guys.
Without question, sure. And as Mark just told us, Nembhard, Nesmith, best defensive guys in the backcourt. Well, they're 6'4", and I think 6'6". You know, does that affect the Cavs' guards? We'll find out. You know, clearly, Darius Garland can play well against bigger competition. Clearly, Donovan Mitchell has no problem playing well against big competition. Does that happen in this series? So that's, to me, one of the fascinating things to watch as we get this thing rolling.
I don't know. I'm just looking for a fast pace, high scoring, ball moving series where the Cavs are just a little bit better. And I like the Cavs bench. Both teams can play really well in the fourth quarter. Is it going to be even? Yeah, it's going to be a tougher series than it was against Miami. It better be. I mean, Miami was the 10 seed.
It has to be. Miami was awful. I'm stunned. I'm still stunned.
I don't want to sit here and go, oh, the Pacers. I believe in the Cavaliers, and I think that they should win the series, and I don't want to go into this timid or scared. I'm glad I'm not playing.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Well, I mean, but if you're listening to what people are saying, it's like, I don't know about this, Cleveland. You got a challenge. Let's see if you're worthy to play Boston. And I'm just like, come on. Did you watch them all regular season for whatever it's worth? Like, I believe this team should have the confidence to go in there and think that they're going to be able to take care of business and move on to the next round. Am I going to say sweep? No. But they should be able to go in there, implement their dominance, do it right out of the gate in game one, and let's go. I'm not sitting around here talking about, stop it. Stop it. We're a damn good basketball team. I'm tired of like trying to inflate the other team. But it's not that way, but everything I'm hearing is about how Indiana is this and Indiana is that, and they can do this and they can match up with this. But I think we forget about how good our own team is. So I want to see these guys go out there, and I'd love to see them kick their you-know-what.
Danny Green, former Cavalier, our Odyssey NBA insider, will join us at 1 o'clock. Schedule change, Daryl Ryder coming up at 12:40. Up next, Browns did something in the draft that everybody went, oh my gosh, what are they doing? What they're actually doing is something that's been done numerous times in recent history. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
A question I never wanted to answer, but I'm going to have to answer it momentarily. But first, caller number 7, 216-474-0092. You're going to win a chance, or you have your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Cleveland Monsters and the North Division semifinals this Friday at 7 p.m. against Laval Raquette. Plus, the first 5,000 fans through the door get a rally towel courtesy of True North Convenience Stores. Don't miss the action. Get your tickets now at clevelandmonsters.com/playoffs. It's all from the Cleveland Monsters in Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Again, clevelandmonsters.com/playoffs. Be caller number 7, 216-474-0092. Your chance to go see your Cleveland Monsters take on Laval Raquette. I will tell you this, like, I was trying to think of different ways I could collect on the $100,000 from my son. Could I make him a personal servant of somebody within the Browns for like the next 2 years? Or like, you are now like the Browns' personal bitch boy. Anything that they want you to do, you have to do it. I don't care what it is. If you need to go put gas in Miles Garrett's car, if you need to go pick up somebody's family at the airport, the other airport, a different airport, not just over there, very close. I don't care what it would be. If they want you to mow the grass out back with scissors, you're going to do it. If JW wants a shoe shine, you're going to do it. Anything I can think of over the course of 2 years, you are going to do it. If they want you to wash dishes by hand, you're going to do it.
Sounds like a great premise for a show.
Yeah. And that was the premise of Mr. Belvedere, was it? No, he didn't make any prank calls. It cost $100,000.
That's the pilot, so here's the deal.
Yeah. I don't think Mr. Belvedere did that. Mary Kay Cabot at 8:22. Brian Geltzeiler going to join us at 9:01. We'll talk Cavs with him. Speaking of the Cavs, so this is a question Lyman and I have not really wanted to answer because, well, you're going to get smoked online for just talking about it. Even though, you know, I said yesterday, if you really think this, just admit you haven't watched the Cavs, and I had plenty of blowback. Darius Garland was out the last two games of the Heat series, and this was after he had things to say about Tyler Hero. Well, Kyle Anderson, we have this clip of Kyle Anderson. This is after game four, where he was asked about the Cavaliers without Darius Garland. And this is what the Miami Heat's Kyle Anderson, not John Anderson or Ryan Anderson or Hans Christian Andersen. This is what Kyle Anderson had to say about the Cavs' current situation without Darius Garland.
If you want my honest answer, and I don't mean to throw shots at anybody or even, you know, entertain what was going on between them, but I think they look like a better team without Garland on the floor. Now, I don't know the numbers or anything, but I think it played more into their favor once Garland wasn't on the floor for them. They were able to dictate the tempo and, you know, get more stops on defense, and it was hard for us to score, and, you know, they had more guys out there on defense. So I think once we came across that, it got kind of tough for us.
So you and I don't know how long this conversation is going to go because you and I agree with each other on this. I at least I think we do, that this team is better with Darius Garland, that there's not been nearly enough of a sample size of Ty Jerome to try to give the opinion and honest certainty that this team is better with Ty Jerome. Yes, Ty Jerome is 6'5", but one guy has started all but four games in his career. The other one has started 10. Out of 279 possibilities there, he has started 10 of them. Now, Ty Jerome, hate to say this, but it's probably true, will make a fine guard for another team if he doesn't take a huge hometown discount this next year. Because I can't dig into his pockets and say, oh yeah, he's definitely going to stay after this year, after he's putting up the numbers that he did against the Miami Heat. I also don't think the Miami Heat are the honest gauge for how great Ty Jerome can be with this basketball team, because they were just going through the motions those two games down in Miami.
Yeah, they look, Jerome has had an incredible year, clearly the best year he's had in the NBA. He's been healthy and he's been consistent. And in his role of being that guy to come off the bench to where there's really not much of a drop-off, if any, on a given night from Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland, he has been sensational all year in that role. Darius has been really good in his role. He was having a career year up until, you know, the final 2 months of the year where he still was doing other things. He just wasn't shooting the ball as well. He regressed a bit, but then kind of found his shot in the last few games and in the first two games of the playoffs. I think it's silly to sit there and make declarations on any of this based on the Miami Heat. Like, the Cavs were great. They look like the best team in basketball. They look like the team that did have the three winning streaks, that had the best record in the league for most of the year until OKC took that over. I'm not making any kind of changes right now in the lineup. That includes, by the way, Max Strus. I mean, Max Strus has been sensational up until the final game of the series. I'm keeping him as a starter. And I remember I was trying to drive a conversation to get DeAndre Hunter in there. I'm good with Max Strus. Like, I'm not changing anything right now based on individual numbers or even some team numbers in a rout of the Miami Heat. I think that's silly.
Thank you for covering for my sneezes. I think you're right wholeheartedly. When he says it, though, I know we have to address it because once an NBA player gives it life, all right, I have to address it again. But I want to nip it in the bud. I think that if anybody, and I also want to go through puberty here live on the air, if you watch the Cavs this entire year, because you might have heard last year about Darius Garland. You might have heard the year before about Darius Garland. It's been a little bit of a mixed bag with Darius. I'll admit it. And yeah, there's a concern that I have, that I think everybody has, about a smaller backcourt. And I think it might rear its ugly head. I'm not as confident against Boston as you are, because I don't want to get mad if they go to Boston and lose. I don't want to start saying irresponsible things on the air. I know, now I don't want to do it. I don't want to just say it out of anger. I don't want to get irresponsible because I'm angry. Because I think they've had a great season. I just don't know if it's great enough to get over the Boston Celtics right now, even though it's been a great year.
We'll see. We'll see. But this setup has worked for everybody involved.
But you know what this does? If they go over to, if they play against Indiana, say they're going to play against Indiana, say they get a 5-game series out of Indiana, they win the series, or a 6-game series. If they go to Boston, that conversation about Darius Garland, because he has problems against the Boston Celtics, that becomes a bigger issue. This thing that we want to avoid now, this is why I'm actually glad Kyle Anderson said it, because now I have to put something on the record other than you guys just are talk show radio hosts and you guys just want to put something negative into the atmosphere. No, Kyle Anderson said it. So now I have to address it. But I'm on the record, and I think you're on the record here. They are not better without Darius Garland.
Yeah.
They are not better with Ty Jerome instead of Darius Garland, because the Miami Heat are not a litmus test for what this team is about to deal with in the postseason.
Yeah, I agree. And the reality is, if this team is truly going to maximize what they can do, their trajectory, and be the team that we saw all season, almost all season in the regular season, it's Darius at his best. If Darius is at his best in that Boston series, they are going to win the Boston series. They have a chance, and they can pull it off. If he plays terrible in that series, they'll be scrambling a little bit. I imagine you'll see a little more of Ty Jerome, but, you know, Ty Jerome's going to have, if Holiday is healthy, he's going to have Holiday on him. He's going to have Derek White on him. He's going to have Jaylen Brown in match, you know, in switches on him. Like, that's all. That we're skipping ahead, obviously, because we have the Pacers next. But
yeah, but I don't play for the Cavs. I can't look ahead.
Yeah,
so
there's nobody in that Cavs building that is uncomfortable with Darius Garland in the starting lineup. He was an all-NBA player for most of the year. He only really fell out of it in the last month and a half. So, look, I have no problem talking about anything. I do get irritated when people get mad that we're having any kind of conversations about a basketball team. Like, have every conversation you want.
I'll admit it. It's hard to do typical conversation talk on the air about the Cavs because they've been perfect this year.
Yeah.
You can't go against perfect. You can only talk about lauding how great perfect is. Because if I was with you at a bar, hey, how about the Cavs? Yeah, how about the Cavs? And then we sit there and we watch TV because the Cavs are that great. I think it naturally leads to you want to be negative. But when a guy says something like this, okay, then I'm going to get hostile and I'm going to get defensive of it because I know in my heart I'm right. I've watched the Cavs all year. I've watched the Cavs since LeBron's been gone. I know what Darius Garland has had to fit into. And what Darius Garland has had to fit into is a bunch of different categories that I don't know if a lot of guys could do it, especially at his size. And he has struggled at times. Yes, he has struggled at times to do that. But I think he's been able to fulfill that role. And I think we're finally getting him, now that he's relatively healthy, I know he's out the last couple of games with a toe, I think he's been able to blossom into the type of player, along with Donovan Mitchell, to be alongside of Donovan Mitchell, to be the helper, to be the type of team that they will have its best chance to get over the hump against the Boston Celtics. I worry about what Boston can do to him. I worry that I'm going to be annoyed coming up in that series about what people may say, because I think it's going to be a very difficult series. I'm glad, though, that DeAndre Hunter was traded for, because I think that he can be a very special piece to this basketball team in helping them get over the Boston Celtics. But damn it, I cannot stand this conversation every time we are separated from the play of Darius Garland, where this team is better without Darius Garland. They've never been better without Darius Garland during his time here. It's never been true. You've based it on the regular season, not you, but they've based it on the regular season and against the Miami Heat, a team that was not trying in the postseason.
Well, I've had tough questions after the last few playoff losses. The last 2 years about Darius. And Darius, he showed improvement. I think he evolved. He's become a much more confident player. Even on off nights where he's not shooting the ball well, he's still doing a bunch of good things. So I think he has taken a step forward. And I think that type of evolution in his game is going to be important because guys are going to have off nights. He does battle on defense. I have kind of maintained that I think him trying to fight so hard on defense, because there are those limitations, I wonder if it's taken a bite out of his offense because teams like Boston...
You talking about Darius?
Yeah, okay. Teams like Boston put him through the ringer on defense. And even though he does his best to hold his own, I think it kind of exhausts him to a level where he does kind of struggle at times. But I will say this year, he's been one of the most clutch players in the NBA. That guy in the final 2 minutes has been as good as almost anybody.
He's been great, and I don't want to mess with that right now. And I also know that there is a tremendous difference in coming in off the bench, being the type of guy who could be a microwave for you like Ty Jerome can, going from 19 minutes a night or 18 minutes a night to over 30 minutes a night. There's a tremendous difference in starting in this league. And I think it's very irresponsible for guys like you and me if we were to champion such an issue, because I know it's wrong.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.